And I really ask that you would pray for us today and that the Lord would speak to our hearts. That's always our prayer, that the Lord would just have His way in our midst. And we're going to read the first 14 verses in Genesis chapter 21. Now, while you're turning there, this is the first Sunday in February, and we don't have church tonight. We have church next Sunday night. Brother Daniel Jones is going to be with us. He's a missionary I've known about for several years, and I got to meet him last fall and talking to him. And he was actually supposed to be here in January, but it snowed and we didn't have church that night, but he's going to be here next Sunday night. He's a medical missionary. He's a doctor, and but also a preacher. And so the Lord's using him and blessing him, and he's from right over here in Mountain City. So I'm looking forward to that. He's a good brother in the Lord. But this morning we're going to read in Genesis chapter number 21. And starting in verse number 1 down through verse number 14. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." Let's pray. Lord, I come today and I ask for your help and your blessing. And Lord, we've already been blessed to be here. I'm thankful for the good Spirit of God moving during the singing before Sunday school and the good Sunday school time. And Lord, it's just a privilege to be able to gather together today and worship you, and I pray that we'd come to do that, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, you are worthy. But I come now as we look into thy word, and I ask, Lord, that you'd give great liberty, that you'd help me to preach exactly what you would have said today, that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts and nothing would be able to hinder. Lord, I pray that through your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would change our hearts, our lives for your honor and for your glory, and we'll thank you. I come asking and praying in faith, and I ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Now, I want you to go back to verse number 14, and we're going to read that verse one more time just to get started today. The Bible said, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." Now, that could not have been an easy thing for Abraham to do. If you know anything about the Bible, if you know anything about what is already taken place, but I'm going to go back and give a little bit of background here as the message goes on. But this couldn't have been an easy thing for Abraham to do. Now, surely by now, Hagar was more than just a slave girl. Now, it's interesting. Abraham calls her Hagar. Sarah calls her this bondwoman. A bondwoman was a slave girl, and that's what she was in the beginning. And evidently here at the end, she's still referred to as a bondwoman or as a slave girl by Sarah. But she's more than that, surely by this time. She is never elevated to the position of being Abraham's wife. She is never on equal footing with Sarah in the Bible. It is never Abraham and Hagar. It is always Abraham and Sarah. But something about Hagar, she is the mother of Abraham's firstborn son, Ishmael. And so this would have been very hard for a hard thing for Abraham to do. It is obvious if you read and study these previous chapters that Abraham cared a great deal for Ishmael. That was his son. In fact, if you just look back quickly into chapter number 17, Abraham is praying and he's talking to the Lord, and the subject of Ishmael comes up. And in chapter 17, verse number 18, the Bible said, "And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." Now, God had bigger plans, and God had already planned to bless Abraham with Isaac, but in Abraham's sight, it would have been okay if God would have just put the blessing on Ishmael. That's what he's praying and talking to the Lord there. And God makes Abraham a promise in chapter 17, verse 20. He said, now, Ishmael's not the promised seed, is basically what he's saying. But in verse 20 he said, "And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." And so God had already promised Abraham that he would not forget his firstborn son, Ishmael. Abraham loved and cared for his son. And so the Bible says in our scripture today in chapter number 21 and verse number 11, it says, "And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." Now that word grievous in verse number 11, it means this. It means to spoil by breaking in pieces violently. And so when Abraham comes to the place in his life where he's got to put out Hagar and especially Ishmael, the Bible said that it was very grievous unto Abraham, and it would be to the point of, like we might say sometimes, something tragic has happened in my life and it's just broken me all to pieces. It's very grievous unto Abraham what's getting ready to happen in his life. Like somebody's come in with a baseball bat and just the happiness, the goodness, all that is just destroyed it and smashed it to pieces. You ever felt like that about something in your life, that something has happened and it is just such a awful thing? It's a grievous thing that's happening here in Abraham's sight because of his son. I want to preach today on this subject, the courage to correct, or the courage to change, the courage to make a correction in our life. Sometimes in our life we have to make corrections along the way. And when we come to a place of making a major change or a correction, many times these are difficult things. They're painful things. It always takes courage to do the right thing. It always takes courage to do right in our lives. The easy road is the coward's highway. Did you know that? You know what the coward does? The coward goes along in life. The coward never rocks the boat. The cowardly person never changes course. The cowardly person is just carried along in life by time and circumstance, and the cowardly person always misses what is very best And that's the will of God in their lives. And so Abraham had a choice here. Abraham can do the right thing. He can do what God tells him to do. And he can make a correction in his life that needed to be made. Or if he chooses not to do that, he just continues on like things are. And let me show you from the Bible, things are not good. In Abraham's life, the courage to correct. First of all, let me point out that there is a day of correction. All this took place in verse number 14 in one day. One day, Abraham makes a major correction in his life. Now, the Bible is a commentary on itself. And Galatians in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 4 and Galatians chapter number 5 is a Holy Ghost commentary on what is happening here in Abraham and Sarah and Hagar's life. So we look over there in the New Testament and we learn what we suppose here in the book of Genesis is confirmed in the book of Galatians. And what I mean by that, here's what the Bible says in the book of Galatians about Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 23 says this, "But he who was born of the bondwoman," that's Hagar, "he that was born of the bondwoman was born after the flesh." And so what is this talking about? Ishmael, Isaac, Ishmael and the birth that took place through Hagar is a type of the flesh. What I mean by that this morning is we think about this situation that Abraham finds himself in. There's not one spiritual thing that we can point to and say, this was God's will. All that transpired through Ishmael and Hagar was a fleshly, worldly thing. He that was born of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. When we look at Ishmael and Isaac, God is not the author of it. The whole thing reeks of flesh. The whole thing reeks of just being something of self-will. Not God's will, but what they wanted to do. I'm telling you, you're getting ready to get in trouble when you go down the road of just what I want to do. Let me point out some things about what is happening here in this passage of Scripture. If you go back to chapter number 16, we find this out as we study the Bible. This was all their idea. It was not God's idea. God never told Abraham to take Hagar. God never told Abraham that he would have a child by anybody other than Sarah. This was their baby. Literally. You ever had somebody and their idea gets them in trouble and you say, well, that's their baby. Well, this was their baby, not God's baby. This was all their idea. In chapter 16 and verse 1, look what the Bible said. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Now, she gave Hagar to be Abram's wife. But if you read and study the Bible, he never took her as a wife. But he did have a baby by her. She was never elevated to the position of his wife. Now the Lord had already told Abraham at least 3 times. God had already came to Abraham, spoke to him, and told him, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the sea. God had already told Abraham 3 times that he was going to bless him with children. But you know what? Sometimes what we do in our lives, we get impatient, don't we? And Sarah was getting impatient. In verse number 2, she said, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid." Hey, God made you a promise you're going to have children, and that's been a few years ago now. And I've got a good idea. Why don't you go unto Hagar, my maid? And you can have children by her. And we'll sort of help God out with this thing. That's what we do sometimes. We get in our mind that we're going to help the Lord along. And instead of following the Word of God, and let me say, God had already given His Word to Abraham. Instead of following the Word of God, instead of being led by the Spirit of God, we come up with these crazy ideas of the flesh. Let me say, if you look at chapter 16 and Sarah thinks she's running out of time and, you know, we've got to do something now before we really get too old. Well, let me tell you, they were already too old to have children. And this is bearing on their mind. Sarah's got in her mind, man, we got to do something quick. We're running out of time. To hurry and rush and be pushed into things and to think that I've got to do something right now or the opportunity is going to be gone forever is one of Satan's best tricks that he uses against us. God is never in a place where he has to hurry about anything. Sarah thinks she's running out of time. God knows she's got plenty of time. It's just not time yet. We're guilty in our lives so many times of trying to help the Lord out in our lives and of leaning to the ideas of our flesh. And it applies in so many ways. It applies in relationships, especially you young people. Listen to me this morning. You're 18, 19. I don't care if you're 25. I don't care if you're 30-some years old. There's time to wait on God. There's time to get it right the first time. You don't have to be in a rush. You don't have to feel pressured into things. There's no time schedule put upon you. Just get in the mindset that you want to be on the timeline of the Lord and His will and His Word, and everything will be all right. If you feel like you have to be rushed, if you have to do something right now, I promise you that's not of the Lord. It works that way in relationships. It works that way with friends. It works that way with decisions. You ever went to buy something and the salesman, they'll always tell you, now somebody can come in, say you're going to look at a car. The salesman will always say, now somebody can come in after you leave and buy it. If you want to throw a monkey wrench in their reasoning and say, well, I'm a Christian and I pray about things and if it's God's will for me to be it, if to get that, it'll be here in 6 months. And you can pay the tax on it during the 6 months. You know, God's people, we don't go by the same rules as the world. If we really believe that God our Father is leading and the steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord, then you don't have to be in a hurry. You don't have to figure out things for God or how God's going to do something in your life. We just need to learn to let God be God in our lives. But Sarah's got this big, great, bright idea that she's going to help the Lord along. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Your fleshly idea is just going to end you up in a mess is all that's going to happen. Learn to wait on the Lord. It was their idea. It wasn't God's idea. Number 2, let me point this out in chapter 16. Their idea, the reason I know it was fleshly and not of the Lord, is because it caused problems. Look at the problems that it caused. Look at chapter 16 and verse 4. "And he," talking about Abraham, "went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Problem number one, Hagar begins to hate Sarah. Now, before this, I believe with all of my heart that Sarah and Hagar got along just fine. You wouldn't recommend your husband, well, why don't you go in unto her and have a child by her with somebody that you hated their guts? So I believe, you know, Sarah didn't have an evil intention. She had a good intention, and she just went about it in all the wrong way. But now, after Hagar has found out she's going to have a child, Hagar looks at Sarah differently, and she begins to despise her. Look at the next verse. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And so, look what Sarah does. Sarah, when Hagar begins to hate Sarah, Sarah blames Abraham. My wrong, look what she said. My wrong be upon thee. Now, you husbands, you ought to say, amen, poor old Abraham. I know how he feels. But it wasn't my idea to begin with. And now I went and I done what she said to do, and now she turned around and she blames me. And on top of that, now here's where we really are messed up. We bring the Lord into our messes. Did you see that's what Sarah done? Hey, it's amazing to me how many times and in how many different ways we can bring the Lord, capital O-L-O-R-D, into what was all our idea and all our mess to begin with. The Lord judge between me and you. Abram, this is all your fault. She begins to blame Abram. It wasn't his idea. It was her idea. And he just went along with it. And so now Hagar hates Sarah, and Sarah is blaming Abraham. And in verse number 6, the Bible said, but Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So Abraham puts it back on Sarah, and he says, she's not mine, she's yours. You do with her what you want to. And what does Sarah do, buddy? Sarah puts the screws down on Hagar. And if you read on down, and I'm not going to go through all of this, Hagar's feelings is hurt. Hagar is mad. Hagar runs away from home. And the Lord appears to her and tells her to go back unto Sarah. What a blessing. This great idea that Sarah has, you know, to help God along. And boy, just look what great fruit came out of it. That's how come I know this is a fleshly thing, because it has the stamp of flesh all over it. We've got hatred. We've got jealousy. We've got bickering. We've got cruelty. Galatians chapter 5. All of these things are the works of the flesh. This is days of our lives before it ever come on TV. This is As the World Burns, BC version. You think we have problems? People have always had problems. And our problems are usually of our own doing. Let me say something this morning. If what you're doing is causing nothing but problems, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. Maybe God's not within a million miles of what you think, you really, really think, because they thought this was okay, but there's nothing working out here. It's just a mess, and it's going to get worse. It caused problems. Look at chapter number 21. It goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. And in chapter number 21 and verse number 9, here's what the Bible says. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. And so Ishmael, Abraham's son by Hagar, Isaac comes along, and it's been a few years now. He's weaned already. and he's mocking. And that word mocking, it means to laugh outright with scorn. Maybe he was picking on him. Maybe his mom has told him how Sarah's treated her in the past. And you know, whatever all the situation is, he is now mocking Isaac and making fun and laughing and giving him a hard time. And here's what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 29. But as he that was born after the flesh, that's talking about Hagar, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, with a capital S, even so it is now. And so Ishmael, a type of the flesh, persecutes him that was born after the Spirit. It caused problems. It caused persecution. The world and the flesh will always mock at the things of God. The world and the flesh always mocks at His promises. They always mock at His precious Son. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find Ishmael, a type of the flesh, mocking, making fun of the promised seed. The promised Son, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil and the world will always mock at His people, at the people of God. And so we find Ishmael doing these very things. It caused persecution, and something had to change. Something had to be corrected in Abraham's life. There's the day of correction. And if you've ever got on the other side of the day of correction, you'll look back and you'll say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey. There's got to be a day when we deal with things. There's the day of correction. Number two, there's the details of correction. Now, let me point out some things. Go back to chapter number 16. Let me point something out. The details of correction. Chapter 16 and verse number 16. And I'm going to read several verses. I want to show you something. Chapter 16, verse number 16. The Bible said, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. That translates to being 86 years old. In chapter 16, verse 16, Abram is 86 years old. He makes a mistake in his life, and God doesn't speak to him again for 13 years. But God still had made a promise to Abraham, and it's still going to come to pass. Look at chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine. So 86 to 99 is 13 years. That's why I said that. When he was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. Now look at verse 24 and 25. Of chapter 17. Verse 24 said, and Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Now look at chapter 21 and verse number 8. The Bible said, and the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So when Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old. That's what it said in verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. By the time Isaac is weaned, it's 2 or 3 years probably after he was born. And the details of correction is this. Number one, time will not correct the errors of the flesh. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, you ought to make a note right there. Time will not correct the errors of the flesh. This has gone on now from chapter 16 to chapter 21. It's at least 16 or 17 years by now. If you go back to all the time Hagar was pregnant, Ishmael's 13 years old, Isaac is born, Isaac is weaned, This thing's been going on a long time now. But do you know what? As long as this is going on, it's not getting any better. If we don't make a correction in our life, it's time is not going to make it get any better. It's just going to get worse. Look at chapter 21, verses 9 and 10, what the Bible says. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. We're talking about a family situation here. And one son, we say Hagar, he's persecuting the little brother in the family here. And this time that had elapsed, things is just getting worse. Chapter number 16 is bad enough. But now Ishmael comes along and Ishmael gets in on it. And Ishmael begins to persecute his younger half-brother, Isaac. It's not getting any better as time goes on. Now, at the beginning, it was one generation. But now, generation number two comes along. Isn't that how life is? Isn't that how time is? Oh, this will be all right. It'll work itself out. No, it won't. It just gets passed on to the next generation. And then it gets passed on to the next generation and the next generation. If you look over in the Middle East today and all the problems and all the fighting that is going on, do you know where that goes back to? Right there. All that killing, all that bloodshed, all that hatred, all that bad blood, all that wanting to destroy and annihilate one another. You want to know where that started? Right there. The errors of the flesh are not corrected by time. It just gets worse. Things in life get worse as they go on. Number two, details of correction. Not only time will not correct. Number two, two wrongs do not make a right. Have you ever heard that before? Two wrongs don't make a right. Verse number 11, the Bible said, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham could have went to Sarah and he could have said, Sarah, I can't do this to her. I cannot do this to Ishmael. He's my son. He could have said, I know y'all got problems, but you're just going to have to work it out. He's still my son. Sarah, you're breaking my heart. This is killing me. This is very grievous unto me. But two wrongs don't make something right. And look how many times in our life that's exactly how we try to remedy one thing, one wrong decision with another wrong decision. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. If it's wrong in 1960, it's wrong in 2017. If it's wrong in 1900, it's wrong today. Wrong is always wrong. You can't take wrong and make right. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. I mean, life can get messy. This is already messy. But if we don't make a correction somewhere along the way, guess what? It just gets messier than it already is. And if he would have not made this correction in his life, there's no telling what would have happened. Two wrongs don't make a right. Time will not correct the errors of the flesh. Listen to this. Errors of the flesh are tough to correct. This was not an easy thing that Abraham had to do. It involved, number one, he had to acknowledge his folly, his foolish decision to begin with. Just to be honest, if Abraham would have looked at it from how it really was, he would have had to have realized the whole thing was a mistake to begin with. He had to acknowledge that in order to do what he did. He should have never went in unto Hagar. They should have never had a child together. they should have never carried out this cockamamie plan to try to help God out. The whole thing was stupid. Who in their right mind would do something like that? But you know what? People do a lot of dumb things. Who would do something like that? Well, they did. And he had to acknowledge his folly, his foolishness. Look what else it involved. Now, they were talking about something that's tough to do. It's hard to say, you know what? I was wrong. I was foolish. Shouldn't have ever done that. It involved his folly. It involved his family. We're not talking about some stranger. We're talking about his son. That's what the Bible said in verse 11. It was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Some of the hardest things in our lives actually involve what goes on in our families. And it was grievous because it was his son. It was his family. Listen, it's going to be one or two. It's going to be Sarah and Isaac, or it's going to be Hagar and Ishmael. But I can see the writing on the wall. It is not going to be both. And I don't care what this world says. You cannot have everything. If you're one of God's children, you and I have got to make some choices in this life. It's going to be one or the other. It's going to be God's way or it's going to be my way. It cannot be both. He's going to go with the promise, or he's going to go with his mess he's made. And if he goes with his mess he's made, he's going to lose the promise, and he's probably going to lose the mess, because that's how life is. He's going to lose it all. This involved his family. This involved his feelings. It's not that Abraham, it was very grievous unto him because of his son. Every fatherly feeling, all the time he had invested in Ishmael, all the days, all the hunting trips, all the fishing trips, all the camping trips, all the days out in the pasture working together, all the time training and walking and teaching. Hey, they got circumcised on the same day. That'd make you a brother with somebody. It involved his feelings, his heart. It was like somebody had taken a baseball bat and just come in and smashed everything in his world. It involved his feelings. But your feelings will get you in a mess. It's tough to make corrections. It involved his folly. It involved his family. It involved his feelings. Many times the best thing to do in life is actually the hardest thing to do. It's hard to make corrections. But let me give you something else. It involved his faith. If you look at verse number 12, the Bible said, "And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed." Now that took faith. It took faith to do what Abraham did. But what Abraham had to do the thing that he did not want to do. He had to just give it to God and let God be God in Hagar's life and in Ishmael's life. And the only way that Abraham could assure the blessing of God, I mean, if he really loved Ishmael like he did, he's going to have to do it God's way. And God's way was give him a backpack and a loaf of bread and a bottle of water and send him down the road. Hey, that sounds rough, don't it? But let me tell you something. God did not forsake Hagar. See, to us, that seems like the most cruel, harsh, our way of thinking. We would say, "Abraham, you can't do that." God said, "Yes, you can." But God said, "I'm going to take care of Hagar, and I'm going to take care of Ishmael." And God did what God said he would do. Abraham did not divorce Hagar. They were never married. I know how people think. Oh, I don't like my husband, and I didn't, and you know. When I get home, I'm sending him down the road. Now, I'm not preaching that. Don't you put that on me. I know how people think. I've done this a long time. But God had told Abraham, I'm going to bless, I'm going to take care of him. He's going to be all right. I'm going to make a great nation out of him. I've already told you, 12 princes are going to come out of him. He'll be fine. But Abraham, you got to get your hands off this. You got to do this my way. That's hard to do sometimes. It takes faith. Because here's how we are. We're like the missionary that came and said he's a dock connector. You know, and it's hard for us to just say, all right, I got to put that over there. I got to put that in God's hands and just let God be God. And I've got to do this. That's what he had to do. The details are correction. It is tough. I'm not talking about easy things this morning. I'm talking about hard things in our life sometimes we have to do. And it has to be by faith that we do these things. And so Abraham had faith that the Lord would do right. One last thing I'll show you and I'll be done. Number three, there's the decision of correction. And don't miss this. This is the most important part of the message. The decision of correction. Think about this. By the time we get to chapter number 21, and many, many years have already gone by, they are used to living in this situation. Isaac has already been born. Sarah's been carrying him around a couple or maybe 3 years now and breastfeeding him. That's what weaning means. That was the end of that. So they're already used to all this. But why now? What is different now? Why has Ishmael got to go? Why has Hagar got to go? Look at verse number 5. Chapter 21, verse number 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Do you know why he's got to go now? The difference. I'm talking about the decision maker. Is the coming of Isaac. That's what made things different. The coming of Isaac into their life. The promise of God. Isaac in the Bible is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the promised son. He's the beloved son. Now I believe Abraham loved Ishmael. But the first time the word love is used in the Bible is used in reference to Abraham loving Isaac. Just like God loved his only begotten son. Or for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's a type of that promised son. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word only begotten is used 6 times in the Bible. 5 times refers to Jesus Christ. 1 time in Hebrews chapter 11 refers to Abraham and Isaac. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our life, he's the difference maker. There's a lot of things in our lives that we do, and we might do it for years and years. But when Jesus really comes into the picture, it's got to go. See the difference? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when Isaac comes on the scene, when Jesus comes on the scene, you don't make Jesus and Ishmael share the same room. That they don't. Ishmael's a type of the flesh. Ishmael's a type of the law. You can't mix the grace of God and the law of God and the flesh and all these things. When Jesus comes, you don't build a room in the basement for him to live in. He's all or nothing. You can't have a little bit of the world, a little bit of the flesh, and a little bit of Jesus. And you know, this country music type salvation people has, good old boy, drinking on the weekend, living like the devil, come to church on Sunday morning, sing a little Amazing Grace. That stuff in the sight of God makes him sick. I'm going to be a little of this and I'm going to be a little of that. Ishmael, flesh, it's got to go. If you really bring the Lord Jesus into your life, you will find that is the decision maker. That's when things have got to change. When we really bring the Lord into our lives. And so now Isaac, he's come into their lives. He is growing. You know, when you get saved, the first week after you're saved, you may still listen to the same things. And, you know, but after a while, if you're saved by the grace of God, there'll be some things. As the Lord Jesus grows, there'll be many things in your life. And you may not even make a conscious decision sometimes, but you know, that just don't satisfy you anymore. Ishmael's got to go. That's what that's a picture of. You know, we could have bleeding hearts and say, oh, he shouldn't have done that, but that's a type of the flesh getting out of our lives. He was born of the flesh, and everything about him was fleshly. When the Lord Jesus comes into our life, there must be a change. There must be a correction. There must be conviction. There must be conversion in our lives. You know, there's a lot of people talk about being saved. There's never been a change. There's never been any conviction. There's never been any correction anywhere along the way. There's never been any real conversion. You know, just because you grew up in church don't mean you're saved. Has there ever been a time where the Lord Jesus Christ really come in? It'll make a change. There'll be a different relationship than there was before. He changes our relationships. But it takes courage. It takes courage to follow Christ. And to do what the Lord says in our lives. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.